This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you see the Chuck Schumer fake cheeseburger picture? I actually have a lot to say about that. We'll discuss it. Sean Spicer's here to give us a little debate preview for next week. More Pride Month insanity. All that and more coming up on I'm Right. All right, we're going to talk about something, and I'm sure it's the last thing in the world you thought I was going to open the show with on a Monday. But I think it's worth talking about, because I think there's a lot more to it than people have really thought about. Chuck Schumer over the weekend. All right, Chuck Schumer, first, let's acknowledge something. Chuck Schumer is a very, very, very powerful man. He is the Senate Majority Leader. He is the leader of the United States Senate. You could make an argument that Chuck Schumer is one of the most powerful people on planet Earth. I know that makes you want to vomit. It makes me want to vomit. It all hurts. I get all that. But Chuck Schumer is a big deal, a really, really, really big deal. And he put up and has since deleted a picture of him pretending to grill. Now, you may ask why he deleted it. And Mr. Producer, if you don't mind, would you just leave that picture up? Looking at me right now is not gonna do anything. So he deleted it. If you look really closely, you can see why he might delete it. He got some guff for that picture. He got guff for the picture because he's allegedly grilling and he has raw burgers on the grill and a piece of cheese laying on top of what is not only a raw burger that very clearly just came out of the pre-made package, but you don't put the cheese on the raw burger to melt it. Okay, so that's the picture. Now, I want you to leave the picture up if you don't mind, Mr. Producer. That picture's fine, whatever. I want you to think about this in a little more depth, because he's not the only one who's done something like this. I was going to show you the Kathy Hochul picture. She did the same thing, but set that aside. I want you to just look at this, and I want you to think about this. What went into this? The most powerful man in the United States Senate decided that he wanted to do something relatable, all right? So he and or his staffers, we don't know how many staffers were involved in this decision, he and or his staffers, they very clearly had a discussion about this. Hey, what do? How do I look normal? What do I do to look like I'm one of the people? And of course, they came up with grilling. What do those normal people do? What do the peasants do? Well, they grill, right? Okay, what do they grill? Burgers and dogs? Yeah, let's do that. And they went and they purchased some things at the store. They got a camera set up for the photo op. But this might be the part that fascinates me the most. Chuck Schumer or his staffers, actually everybody involved in this, They don't even know how. And this is not about cheeseburgers, and you know my love for cheeseburgers. This is not about grilling or not about anything. But the people who run the planet, we'll make this about America, though. The people who run the United States of America, they are so disconnected from you. They are so disconnected from reality that even when they're bending over backwards to lie and pretend like they understand you or understand me, they are so disconnected from real people, they don't even know how to fake like they're grilling a cheeseburger. And again, look, Mr. Producer, you can put it up now if you want. I already teased it. Kathy Hochul, this is not a one-off. These Democrat politicians continue to do this. Kathy Hochul getting ready to serve up some raw burgers in her white dress. Yeah, that dress would look great, or skirt or whatever it is when you're done grilling up all this. And she caught all kinds of crap for that clearly fake picture. Not only do these people live a lie every moment of every day, everything they say, everything they do, none of it is genuine. It's all a lie. And they're lying to try to act as if they understand or care about you at all. But I have said this before. I know I've said it on my radio show, and I know I've said it to you here before. If the soul, you know, every human being has a soul. If the soul was actually an organ in your body, let's say your soul is your heart, and it's just for argument purposes. So the soul is an organ, it's your heart. Now you know, I know, what a heart looks like, a human heart. You've at least seen pictures of it or diagrams in the doctor's office. Maybe you are a doctor and you've seen one, but you know what a human heart looks like, right? So let's make that the soul. If you were to take the people who run this country and perform surgery on them and open them up, let's say maybe they even died and you had to do an autopsy on them, you were to open up Chuck Schumer's chest, it wouldn't even look human compared to yours. You'd look at your soul and that of your family members, friends, and everyone you know, and you would know that's what a human soul looks like. But these people, they're so depraved, so twisted, so fake, so I don't even know, that what's inside of them isn't even recognizable as human anymore. And the most amazing thing about it is they don't even know how to pretend to be. It used to be they could at least pretend to know about what we know, to care about what we care about, to do the things that we do. These people are so disconnected from reality, they don't know how to pretend to grill a cheeseburger now. It's why, like, when you see people like Janet Yellen, and this is actually a really great example. Janet Yellen is the Treasury Secretary. And it's important to understand about Janet Yellen, she's much more than that. She is the elite of the elite. You know, she worked for Obama, and as soon as Obama lost to Trump, Janet Yellen, she didn't go to the poorhouse, of course. She went right from Obama to working on Wall Street, clearing 3 million Goldman Sachs speeches, giving lessons to the smartest, most accomplished people in the world. And now she's back. She's Treasury Secretary. Okay, that's a really big deal. My goodness, America's monetary system, the Treasury, these are major, major things. And so this human being, just by the position she's held, the jobs, the everything else, her everything should lead you to believe that Janet Yellen is the most connected human being on the planet, at least in the country, on what people are going through financially. Just by virtue of her position, she should be the smartest person in the country. And listen to this person.
I think the inflation that we experienced after the pandemic just compounded this feeling for them that life isn't affordable. I would point out, of course, that wages have also gone up during this time. And government studies show that for households at all points in the income distribution, wages have gone up somewhat more than prices.
Secretary Yellen, I only have about...
The American is somewhat better off.
You're fine. Prices? Oh, wages have gone up more. Everything's fine. Everything's doing great. Nobody, nobody who's even vaguely connected with real normal people thinks everything is great right now. Across the country, everyone is suffering. Savings being drained, credit cards being maxed out. You name it, financially, it's happening to the people out there. And yet the people who lead the country are so disconnected from us. They don't even know how to pretend to care about you. And speaking of the disconnect, look, it's not just Democrats. I saw last week the House passed the NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act. It's not a big military spending thing. $895 billion. And everyone was yelling about this or that part of it. Oh, the selective service is mandatory now. Oh, my gosh, it's women. They're going to draft women. And everyone was focused on all those things. And all that stuff is fine. Focus on whatever you want. But $895 billion? Do you know how many politicians I saw complaining about that price tag on either side? Zero. Oh, I saw some on the right complaining about the whole women getting drafted thing and all that stuff, but not a single Democrat or Republican that I saw. It may have happened, but I didn't see it. Not a single one that I saw complained about spending $895 billion. So allow me to explain this again for everyone who is confused. We don't have any money left. All the money is gone. They have looted the Treasury. We are now borrowing every single penny. We are borrowing it all, non-discretionary spending. That's all the spending that's automatic that they can't touch. It gobbles up more than the entire federal budget. The interest on the debt alone will exceed military spending. And so allow me to explain this because no one seems to care about the debt but me and like five people. It's me and you and five other people. The reason you can't afford eggs and burger is because of Washington spending and printing. Every new trillion here and trillion there and trillion here has made your life more expensive. And what you're involved in now, what you are in now, it's not a Biden blip. That's something we have to understand. Yes, Joe Biden and the Democrats have made everything worse, but this isn't a Biden blip that's going to get fixed if we just get Biden out of the White House. We are having our entire nation torn up, hollowed out, and gutted. And we are in the very beginning stages. I know it feels like we're deep in it. We are in the beginning stages. This is a taste of the financial disaster that is coming for a country that can no longer pay its bills and can no longer print its way out of having problems. And the people who will pay for that are you. You're the one who's going to pay. It won't be the Schumers. It won't be the Janet Yellens. You will just slowly and steadily watch your entire standard of living disappear like a vapor in a breeze. And no one cares. No one talks about it. We need another trillion in, another trillion there. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. We need money for this and money for that. And military money and Medicare money. And we're going to build buildings and we're going to do that. With what money? Saudi Arabia just opted out of the petrodollar last week. Do you think they're the last? They're the first. The party is over. And the people running this country don't give a crap. The question is, do the voters, do they care enough to do something about it? I asked the question. It's a great question because I haven't come up with an answer yet. Tell me the politician, Republican or Democrat, in recent decades who has lost their position because of spending. They've lost their positions for various reasons, but not because they spent too much money. Well, again, I want to remind you, you're paying $7 a pound for burger because of spending. All that may have made you uncomfortable. But I am right. We have many more things to come. Debate, preview stuff, LGBTQ month, and all that other crap coming. Before we do that, let's talk about something amazing. You know what I did for Father's Day yesterday? Breakfast in bed from the fam. My boys made me eggs. Wife took me out to a wonderful lunch. Cheeseburger, fries, not to brag. Came home from that, watched a movie with the fam, relaxed. It was wonderful. And then About 9 o'clock, 9:30 last night, I mixed myself a little cup of Beam hot chocolate, Dream Powder hot chocolate. It's chocolate cinnamon, delicious, but it's got melatonin, all kinds of natural things in it. And I went in and drifted off to sleep, and I slept for 10 straight hours. And I woke up and I feel like a champion today. How do you feel on a Monday? Get some Dream Powder in your life, 40% off. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so next week is the debates, next Thursday. And we're going to talk to Sean Spicer about that in just a couple minutes. Just stay with me. And this brings up an interesting debate. The debate brings up an interesting debate. Anyway, what does Joe Biden have to do? How good, how bad does he have to be? How good does he have to be to stay as the nominee? How bad does he have to be to get kicked out? He was at the G7 last week. And you've already seen all the video. We've talked about it a million times. You've laughed. Joe Biden was, and this is according to the people who were there, as bad as he's ever been. That's obviously, you're looking right now at a famous video of the President of the United States of America wandering off in the wrong direction, looking in the wrong way. The Italian PM had to fetch the president like he was a toddler and tell President Poopy Pants which direction he's supposed to be looking. And so it begs the question, he's going to stand on stage for 90 minutes next week and debate Donald Trump? Can he do that? Is it possible? And what if he can't? There's no one going to come save you up there. What if he just can't do it? Next week is appointment television. That's a fact. Talk to Spicer about that next. Before we talk to Sean, let me talk to you about coffee. Well, values. Coffee, I don't need to really talk to you about. Everyone loves coffee. But where do you buy it? Because the hardest thing is putting your money where your morals are at all times or as many times as we possibly can. I have started shopping locally more than nationally. I try to focus on small business. If we're going out, I try to go with the local diner versus a national chain. I I really try to do this in every walk of my life. I can, of course I fail, but coffee is easy. We don't have any excuses now that Blackout Coffee is here. Blackout Coffee will mail you your coffee. They mail it to your front door. And they not only share your values, they brag about it. They promote your values. How many companies out there take your money, money for things not related to anything cultural-wise, and then print mugs that say God on them? Blackout Coffee does. 20% off your first order. Blackoutcoffee.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than the championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted, but we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
I do have to ask, though, I mean, this is all thrown into sharp relief when the two men are on stage debating, right? And it already feels like, you know, the first presidential debate is set for June 27th. It already feels like the bar that is set for Biden to clear is so much substantially higher than the one Trump has to clear, which is literally, is he alive? Is he standing? Are the words coming out of his mouth? Setting aside what the words actually are.
Literally. She just had to throw that word in there, didn't she? You know what? I'm going to let that go. I'm not going to focus on that because we're here to talk about debates. We have the great Sean Spicer here of the Sean Spicer Show. All right, Sean. So we have this debate. And obviously the rules are absurd. They're cutting off microphones. Words out today that Biden is going to try to sit down. All right, they loaded it up for Biden. I don't know how Joe Biden can even sit down, Sean, when he's going to have Jake Tapper and Dana Bash's lips glued to his rear end.
Well, you know, the funny thing about this, Jesse, is I think that they believe that the rules favor them. Trust me when I say this, Donald Trump knows what he's doing. And I have a feeling that everything that they've done will boomerang and end up benefiting him.
Okay, explain that.
Well, think about it. They think that somehow cutting off the mics is going to benefit Joe Biden. The more that Trump sticks to the issues and contrasts the record of him versus Joe Biden, the better he does. I actually think that all of this stuff they somehow believe will benefit Joe Biden. Trump's, the more that he can stay focused on his record and that it's not a food fight like it was in that first debate in 2020, the better for Trump. The more that it's about issues, the more that it's about the contrast from his 4 years as president to Joe Biden's 3.5, the better. And so if they cut him off because they're interjecting on each other and just stay focused, That's going to benefit Trump. He just gets his points in. Biden gets flustered. The more that it's the focus is on Joe Biden and he has to stand there and articulate something that's not just a talking point. It's easy for him. Everyone talks about the State of the Union. Sitting there and reading a teleprompter is one thing. Having to respond to Donald Trump in the moment is quite another. I think that he might give a couple one-liners and he might stand up and that might be a high bar for him to hit. But at the end of the day, him having to respond to Trump, who says, here's my record, here's, you know, tell me about yours. He can't do that.
He can't do that. And setting aside the dirty combi we played at the very beginning of this, isn't it true that Joe Biden does have an extremely low bar? Because everyone can see, Republicans can see, Democrats can see, everyone can see that Joe Biden is half dead already. Donald Trump is sharp. Look, whether you love Trump or hate Trump, Donald Trump is sharp, very sharp, has great energy still. Joe Biden's half dead. So if he just sits up there and doesn't poop his pants on camera, that's going to be seen, or at least it's going to be sold as a win, isn't it?
Except I think that Trump can lay out, you know, here's my record. Here's what I did on oil production, on energy security, on border security, on lowering taxes, and then go, and Joe, what have you done? And that's where I think the dynamic changes. As I said, State of the Union, all he had to do was climb on top of that rostrum and read out of a teleprompter and stop while people clapped. That's not very tough. But now doing it where Trump will be going back and forth with him is quite another. That's the contrast that this debate permits. So yes, Joe Biden has a low bar. There's no question about that. People don't have high expectations for what he has to do. But to your point, when you see that contrast in real time, Trump listing off his accomplishments, boom, 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 boom. Here's what I did. Here's what I had this. And you see the energy that is contrasted by the two individuals standing there on stage together. It will be unmistakable who the leading candidate is.
Do you think that's what Trump intends to do? You obviously have been right next to the big man. You're very much in the know when it comes to this stuff. Look, sometimes he does that, sometimes he doesn't, and he's not exactly somebody who can always take advice. He's famous for that. You and I have talked about that before. He has done these debates where it didn't go well, couldn't control himself, just kept interrupting, he looked terrible. And he's done great at debates in other cases. What Trump do you think we're going to get here?
See, what you're putting your finger on is exactly right, Jesse. Which one shows up? I've been with him. I briefed him, for a while before the Commander-in-Chief forum that NBC held on board the Intrepid. I didn't think he was paying attention at all. I mean, I was sitting there going over statistics and veteran suicide rates and all of these issues from a military and a veteran perspective. And I thought to myself, oh my God, he's going to get his clock cleaned. He's not paying attention. And then he got out there and killed it. He has an ability to synthesize information like no one I've ever seen before. So look, can he show up and crush it? Absolutely. Has he done it before? Absolutely. But which Trump shows up is going to be the million-dollar question. I have a feeling that considering how that first debate last cycle went, that's still seared in his memory. And the idea that if he can come out and put this away in the first or second round, of which this is, I mean, you come out this early, Biden doesn't do well, he does well. I think Biden has everything to lose and Trump has everything to gain. If Trump doesn't do well, I don't think it kills him, but I think if he does really well and Biden doesn't do well, then they're done. I have a hard time seeing how you recover from that. Trump can fight another day. Biden doesn't have the luxury. They wanted this debate early to change the narrative and the trajectory of the race. If they blow it, it's over. And I think Trump understands that. And they're not going to let this day go by without taking advantage of those circumstances. So the question you're asking is the right one. Which Trump shows up? And if the one that we've seen before, who kills it at debates, shows up, then it's game over.
And that leads us to what the Democrats do if Joe Biden doesn't deliver. I honestly, all jokes and everything else aside and what it means for the country, he's really bad, Sean. Obviously, you see it. You talk about it. He's clearly getting worse as people with that condition, whatever his condition is, they don't get better, right? He's not getting younger. He's getting worse. What if he does go out there and poop his pants or can't talk or does any one of the various things he's done, wanders off in the middle of the thing? What's the plan? You and I have gone back and forth on dumping him, don't dump him. It has to happen at the convention. These people are in panic mode right now, Sean. What are they going to do?
Yeah, so a couple things. First of all, I think that they are going to – he's holed up at Camp David for about a week ahead of this debate. I think you're going to do exactly what they did at the State of the Union. I mean, look, anybody can rest as he did for that and be ready. So I have a feeling, number one, they are going to do everything they can to make sure that the Biden we saw at the State of the Union is the Biden that we see at the first debate. That's number one. Number two, if he were to have a really bad night you got to remember a couple things are happening. One, they expedited the roll call for the nomination. What does that mean? Because these dum-dums couldn't figure out when Ohio was having its ballot deadlines, they were going to miss it if they, the Ohio ballot, if they didn't get him nominated earlier because they put their convention so late. So they are having a virtual roll call well before the convention so that they can get themselves on the Ohio ballot. That shortens the window that the Democrat establishment would have to try to make any kind of change. I think it would have to be an unbelievably profound screw up for anything to happen because they just don't have the runway to go in and change anything. And Biden's not going to do that on his own volition.
Oh, man, I just can't believe they're going to run with this. All right, let's forget about him for a moment. Let's get back to Trump. All kinds of VP talk out there. I love a lot of people on his list. I actually think it's a really great list. Some of them, like Elise Stefanik, are a complete disaster who'd be hostile to everything he wants. Setting all that aside, someone like J.D. Vance intrigues me. I love J.D. Vance, but I tend to think Trump would need a J.D. Vance in the Senate more than he'd need him as VP. Whatever, those are my thoughts. What's the Sean Spicer thoughts on all this?
Well, look at the list that you've got up on the screen right now. J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio, Tim Scott, all senators from Republican states. What does that mean? That the governor of their state, who are, each of them is, has a Republican, can replace them. And so I'm not that worried if any of them were to be chosen. That being said, I think the top three right now, in my opinion, is I think it's Doug Burgum and J.D. Vance are tied for first. And then I think Marco Rubio is sort of the distant second. Vance appeals to him for a lot of reasons. But I think for as much as Vance appeals to him, so does Burgum, because he's a contemporary, he's a businessman, he's a governor. And I think he sees an actual age-wise contemporary in him. Burgum is younger than him, but not by that much. So it feels like he can actually get along with him. And, you know, he has a partner, a buddy, if you will, for the next 4 years. J.D. Vance, obviously a lot younger. He sees them as the next generation to carry on the MAGA movement. So he's looking at each through a very different perspective. But none of those three, Burgum, Rubio, or Vance would surprise me. The other ones, I think, are lower down the list. I think there's a big break between the top three and everybody else. My dark horse right now on this that's not on the list and not being vetted is Lee Zeldin.
Oh, okay. Now, let's just finish up by talking about that. Why would you go with Lee Zeldin? Trump's not going to win New York. He knows that. Obviously, he's not a moron. He's not going to win New York. So what does Lee Zeldin bring him?
Well, remember that this concept that the media likes to float about what they're bringing is not at all what Trump cares about. He doesn't think anyone brings him anything. He wants a partner. He wants a loyal cheerleader of his policies and what he's doing in office. No one brings him anything in his book. So let's start with that. He wants someone who's going to carry on the agenda, et cetera, et cetera. What does Lee Zeldin brings? He brings someone who is a fighter, somebody who understands the MAGA movement from its bare bones. Lee has been loyal to the president. He's done great on TV. He's a prolific fundraiser. He did really well in New York and surprised a lot of people. He didn't win, but he showed that by going everywhere and being everywhere that you can bring more people into the movement. He's very well thought of in the Jewish community, which this movement, I think, considering everything that's happening in Gaza, is ripe for the picking. So I think that Lee Zeldin would be someone he looks at as a partner. And remember, this is why I say this. More than anything else, Trump still has that showman in him, that from The Apprentice. He wants everyone to be thinking, look over here, and here's the new answer. And so this thing about Zeldin that intrigues me is that he's had the president's back. He's a fighter. He knows how to win. He's well respected. He's got national security credentials. He passes the Can You Be President Day One test. Well liked by everybody in the movement. He's done well on the campaign trail. I just, again, do I necessarily, am I going to put my money on it? I don't know yet. I might put Jesse Kelly's money on it. But I think that the three that we mentioned are definitely the top of the list. But I always, in the back of my mind, that think that Trump's always got something going on that none of us are guessing right now. And if I had to guess it, that would be it.
That intrigues me, because I like Lee. I do, and if he's not thinking about the state itself, that's intriguing.
Sean, when I had him on the show the other day, and everyone can go back on YouTube and check it out, I asked him point blank. I said, are you being vetted? Because I think you would do a great job. And he said, you know, he gave a very political answer. And if you're not being vetted, and you say, no, I'm not, I'm looking at blah, blah. But he said something to the effect of, you know, I'm just excited to blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's the most political answer.
That tells you everything you need to know. Well, I'll just be honored anyway. Sean, thank you, brother. All right. You thought the pride insanity couldn't get any more insane? They're taking down street signs now for these people. Gosh, we'll talk to Sarah Partial Perry about that next before we talk about that. Let's talk about Lone Star Transfer. Let's talk about the timeshare you're not actually stuck in. You think you're stuck in it. And you think you're stuck in that timeshare because you've called the timeshare company itself. You've called, sent them an email, text message, let me go. And they keep telling you, sorry, you can't. Sorry, you signed up, pay your annual fees. Well, Lone Star Transfer is the one you should call. It's the family business. With the A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, and what they do is they get you out of your timeshare, legally and permanently. You want to know how confident they are? It's borderline cocky. They put it in writing. They put it in writing, and they give you a specific time frame. Oh, we'll get you out by this time. Sound good? Make a phone call, not to the timeshare company. 844-310-2646. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
LA City Council members Hugo Soto Martinez and Nithya Raman were on hand today to help remove the signs. They say the no cruising and no U-turn signs were put up in the 1990s to prevent people in the gay community from meeting up with other gay people.
I was also surprised that these U-turn signs were still up. And at first, you know, they seem a little... it's just a no U-turn sign. But when you learn the history of it and you realize that these were used to profile gay people, it's so important that we have these removed.
Isn't it funny? All this activism from whatever branch of American communism it is, from the climate change nutters to the feminazis to the LGBTQ demon mob, it's weird that it always seems to involve tearing things down. Isn't that funny? This statue has to go, this U-turn sign has to go, your education, your advanced education programs have to go, beauty standards have to go, everything you love has to go, all in the name of communism, right? Joining me now, Sarah Parshall Perry, senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, also former senior counsel, U.S. Department of Education. Sarah, it's crazy how once you just accept that it's all just about destruction, you're never shocked. You may be horrified, but you never look at anything and say, I can't believe they did this, because it's very obvious why they did all this stuff.
So the answer to everything seems to be tearing down things that you don't like that are rooted somehow in a purported basis for victimization or ideologues that find themselves really at the sort of pointy end of the colonialist, white, cis privileged stick. We really are tired of it, but this is a Pride Month in which I think we've seen sort of a ramping up of efforts to force Americans to swallow the woke juice when it comes exactly to how individuals spend private time with other individuals behind closed doors. We really don't care what you do with your sexual organs, what your sexual orientation is. We're also tired of the fact that you are clearly targeting children for most of these efforts, not limited to the fact that we're seeing this now in pre-K through kindergarten at the earliest ages in companies like Scholastic, who, as the largest provider of children's material and educational books driven towards children's literacy in the country, has now declared that they will use resources to make sure that books are not, quote, banned in public school, and that, in fact, they want to institute an active agenda in American classrooms in which they're going to utilize their platform to teach people that there are certain privileged sexualities and gender identities, and among their Read with Pride toolbook for teachers and educators includes a glossary of terminology like cisgender, allosexual, two-spirit, and two-spirit, I might add, means individuals who want to fight the colonialized gender identity norm of two sexes and zero gender identities. So if you can make sense of that, I have a graduate degree. I can't seem to make sense of it on my own. I'm not quite sure how kindergartners are going to do that, but this is just one of a number of growing corporate efforts to force everyone to bend the knee.
Okay, so this company, Scholastic, sounds like a really, really evil company, of course, but this obviously is surely just a small regional company in, let's say, California or something like that. Surely I'm not going to find any Scholastic books, let's say, in a public school near me, right?
Scholastic is the largest publisher of children's literacy material designed for classroom instruction all across the country. They brag about the fact that they are in hundreds of thousands of American public classrooms across the coast. And this, of course, is not to minimize the effect that Scholastic book fairs have. I don't know if your kids have been to a school where they had the annual Scholastic book fair and you sent them in with money to be able to purchase most of these materials. They have actually now set aside a reading platform with a hand-selected group of pro-LGBTQIA books designed specifically for child consumers to go in and spend their lunch money on. So this is actually not only widespread, it is in just about every public school classroom in the country.
Good grief. One of the things that tells you just how nefarious this is is the lengths these people go to keep parents from knowing. They bend over backwards to try to keep parents from knowing, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of what we're seeing in American classrooms overall. You know, the mission used to be to instruct individuals in the basics of reading, writing, and arithmetic, as the saying goes. But our NAP scores, our National Association of Educational Placement scores, put average math and reading literacy scores in American schools at 30%. Well, the reason is because they are so beholden to the teachers' unions, and they are too busy promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion curricula designed to platform these gender and sexual minor communities that they are less concerned with whether or not Johnny and Jane can read and perform arithmetic calculations on grade level by the time they graduate high school.
You've talked about this before. In fact, you did a report on how it's unconstitutional for them to hide it from parents. How is it unconstitutional? And can we use this in some way? You're the legal expert to go after these people. Surely we can.
Oh, absolutely. But we've just seen the first state in the country actually pass a law designed to prevent parents from knowing. It is not just a you may inform parents if students believe that parents are going to be supportive. No, no, this is actually an admonition preventing any educator or administrator from informing any parent if there is an expression of gender identity sort of incongruence or dysphoria by any child in pre-K through 12th grade. What we're seeing now, unfortunately, is the making of a lot of bad law, because many of the judges recognize that, yes, there is a longstanding parental right, but there isn't necessarily a longstanding parental right to know that your child is expressing a different gender identity at school. Well, I can't imagine that any federal judge worth his or her salt believes that argument's going to hold up in the Supreme Court. In fact, the last of the Supreme Court's pronouncements on parental rights was in a case called Troxell v. Granville in the year 2000, in which Sandra Day O'Connor, writing for the court, said, "That is the oldest fundamental right we have ever recognized." I don't think that is an overstatement by the Supreme Court. The right to direct the care, upbringing, and education of one's minor children has been recognized for over 100 years, and as far back as the late 1700s in the Summa Theologica. So we've actually seen centuries of jurisprudence on this precise issue. And suddenly, out of thin air, we've seen these school policies decide that they're going to shield parents from this very critical information. 11 million kids in America are in schools that are subject to precisely these policies. It is incumbent upon us to use the legislature to pass good protective law and to use the judiciary to bring these cases to court.
God, 11 million freaking kids. All right, you've been all over this Title IX stuff. Give me an update on the latest on that.
Well, we now have 24 states that have gotten a victory, temporary or permanent, depending on whether or not the Biden administration decides to appeal, which naturally they will. But remember, after the rule was published, we saw within the span of a month, 9 federal lawsuits brought by 25 states, a handful of membership organizations, and individual plaintiffs, all challenging the rule on a variety of different legal bases, on everything from administrative law to civil rights law to constitutional law. And sure enough, we've now seen 4 federal trial judges and 2 federal appellate courts say, "We agree. There is great reason to believe that the rule is illegal, and we're going to put it on pause until we actually address the merits of the underlying questions involved." So at least for now, 24 states, they're given a bit of breathing room. The enforcement date on Title IX is set for August 1st of this year. But at least until then, we know that these particular states are going to have their continued day in court and have been given a temporary respite from the law's application.
Golly. Keep at them, Sarah. I hope you get all the wins in the world. Sarah, appreciate you very much. You know what I was thinking about? Well, I was talking to Sarah, and I'm just thinking about the dudes, the Title IX stuff, the dudes in women's sports thing. Wrap your mind around this. Just think about this. the entire Democrat Party, all of them, 100% of elected Democrats in the country, now pretend that dudes can become women and women can become dudes. They just that alone, they've accepted that. And I'm not sure how we navigate that. Look, it's one thing if you have differences, political differences between the parties. We've always had those, okay? I want taxes higher, I want taxes lower, more regulations here, more immigration. It's one thing to have some differences, but when one party, I'm not even talking about the useless Republicans, when one party decides that dudes can become chicks, how do we navigate that? I don't freaking know. Whatever. Let's do some Light in the Mood next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is time to lighten the mood. And apparently, I inadvertently made some waves with Clay and Buck last week. I went on Clay and Buck's show. You see, let me explain something. In July, there's going to be a period for about a week where this show is going to look different. It'll be a condensed version. You'll enjoy it. Don't get me wrong. We have some fun stuff planned, but it's going to look different. It won't look like this. Why? Because the Republican National Convention's going on, and I will be there. And it's in Milwaukee. And I don't want to go to friggin' Milwaukee. I'm old. I'm 42. I want my bed, my shower, my food, my restaurants, my family, my dog. I don't want to go to Milwaukee. I don't want to hang out with Democrats. You know there'll be hidden Democrats all over that place. I don't want to hang out with Republicans who I don't care for anyway. And it's Clay's fault. Anyway, we talked about it.
When's the last time you voluntarily went to Milwaukee? I want to know. Ooh. I want to know the date. I want to know the year. Have you ever woken up in the morning, looked over at your lovely bride and said, gosh, let's get to Milwaukee this weekend? Tell me, Clay, when was it?
First of all, you need to do your Oppo research better, my man, because you have just walked into a steel trap here. You're the bear that's going to have to cut his own leg off. I was in Milwaukee last summer. I sold out the Pabst Theater.
You can't reframe the question like one of these dirty commie libs. I said voluntarily went, as in for leisure. That's a work event. You sold out a theater. You went to a work event. I'm sure you went to Red Lobster and met the manager. You went to the art museum and saw all the finger paints or whatever they have there in Milwaukee. And now you're pretending like it's some kind of vacation hub. No, I don't want to go to Milwaukee in July. And now I'm going because of you. This is your fault. And the city, it's not that the people of Milwaukee, for the convention, it's going to suck. It's going to be full of Republican politicians who are almost as repugnant as Democrat politicians. It's going to be full of honeypot spies and every other garbage thing in the world. If you need me, if I'm not doing my show, I'll be hiding in my room, and it's because of you.
We are all, look, what is this? All number one in Milwaukee. Your show, my show, Buck's show, all of us, we are dominating. So one last time, would you like to apologize to all the fine people of Milwaukee who legitimately have your show and our show as the number one show in the entire city?
Why would I apologize to the people of Milwaukee? They know more than anyone else their city sucks. They're just trying to get out like I'm going to be trying to get out in July. It's not my fault.
I said it. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.